From the All-Ireland Business Foundation, this is Elaine Carl bringing you AIBF Business Talk. AIBF is an independent national body tasked with enterprise development and the promotion of best-in-class businesses as business all-stars. Today, I catch up with Conor Hannaway, Managing Director of The Learning Rooms, a digital learning services company that helps businesses and organizations deliver technology-based training solutions. They design, build, and deliver engaging online learning experiences that deliver key skills through active engagement and experiential learning. They also provide e-learning consultancy, training, and supports for your L&D team on their e-learning journey. Thank you so much for joining me on AIBF Business Talk today, Conor. Conor, I was so interested in catching up with you as you've been recently acknowledged as the Business All-Star Training and Education Business Person of the Year for 2024. I think when I look at one of the taglines on the website of the Learning Rooms, it goes back to saying that learning is the key to unlocking your competitive advantage. I'd love for you maybe to take me on a journey as to the background of the Learning Rooms and how it all came to pass and how you're now helping to facilitate clients' learning journeys.
Very happy to be on today's podcast and maybe just to share with you some of the experience we've had. At the centre of that experience for best part of 50 years, in fact, if I was honest, more than 50 years, has been learning and development. And that's the centre track that I have followed over that time. A huge growth moment for me was the time that I spent at the Irish Management Institute, which was very rich in learning, in the diversity of specialisms, and not only from the faculty there, but also from the organizations that we dealt with. And it was a great opportunity to find out, to learn from them and to learn how they learned. And one of the things about the Irish Management Institute, perhaps a downside of it, is that it's located in County Dublin. And it meant that quite a limited number of people could get that learning opportunity which it presented. And after a period of time, I left the IMI with a view to establishing an organisation digital technologies as the medium for getting across the learning message.
Fantastic. So your whole background for the Learning Rooms actually was moulded initially in the IMI, where you got fantastic experience and exposure to various companies and corporations, but also the learning styles and requirements of those. So when did the entrepreneurial, I suppose, flair kick in for you to set up and to go about establishing the Learning Rooms, Conor?
Well, the entrepreneurial piece, if such there be, was founded back in my college days when I ran a shop and enjoyed it. In fact, when I studied law at college, but it was always with the intention of going into business and having a business myself. That was always my ambition. And one of the things that I picked up along the way was that the majority of entrepreneurs are successful in areas where they have a degree of expertise. So we had the entrepreneurial piece on the one hand, and then it got matched with the training and development capability that I developed primarily in the Irish Management Institute. So 23 years ago, the predecessor of the Learning Rooms, SHRC Limited, was set up. We changed the name at a later date to the Learning Rooms.
Fantastic. So when you take back, you know, as you said there, to 3 years ago when you set this up, how many iterations and survival modes and business cycles you've gone through between wars and COVID and, you know, global events that have happened, which have tightened interest rates and loosened them, and recessions, etc. You've definitely gone into survival mode, I'd say, on more than one occasion, Conor. How have you had that longevity? What has made you stay successful and successfully come through all of those hurdles?
Okay, I think there's a couple of things, Elaine, that would sort of underline that survival mode. One of the things is it helped enormously with survival is that we have customers and clients that go back to do the setup of the business. So before we hit the real crisis point, we say with the financial crisis in 2009, 2010, we had customers who had been with us all that time. And the establishing good, high quality relationships with clients are very helpful for survival. It's the deep roots. The other thing that we do, I think what really gets us with the survival with clients is complete integrity in terms of our dealings. My longest client, when I first met, asked me to do something for them, and I said, I don't think I can. And that was it was just telling them honestly, that I didn't go after business just for the sake of it. And the other thing is that we have a set of values that guide the way in which we deal with the people who work in the organization. And so we have people here a long, long time, again, nearly the 20 years.
Wow.
And most people stay with us, and there's good reasons for them to stay. And it's the values of the organization that helps us to survive. When people trust you, you can do strange things. We got through the first crisis. We just needed to bring cash into the business. I mean, people drop training fairly quickly in a crisis. And a huge revenue earner for us for 3 years was facilitating the management of Libyan war wounded when they came to Ireland primarily to get prosthetics. And we put a service in place with the Libyan Health Office based on facilitating this group of unfortunate war wounded, and we made money. It lasted 3 years. It saw us through the worst of it. And we've always been prepared to do something different in order just to survive, because we've had two rules with our staff. But one of the things is that we've never had a redundancy, we've never had short time work, and we've never reduced pay for people the whole time with us. Because our motto is that we may not be the highest paying organization, but you will always be able to pay your mortgage. And that's appreciated, but it's also part of the values of the organization. So we kept our staff, we kept enough cash to keep going, and then we were ready for the next bit of business.
Isn't that fantastic to see how, you know, when you're so true to yourself and you've got really good core values and you bring those into the business and they're reflected then in how you run the business internally, and there's such a positive impact then on your team. And I think when you go back, the loyalty I think that your team and staff have towards you is a direct result as to how you've been treating them and those values. And I think there's a great lesson as well, especially for any of our listeners, that at certain times when things are going tough, and we've all had tough times, there's no road that isn't without twists and turns, especially in Ireland, and road bumps and speed bumps along the way. But being able to diversify and maybe find a particular niche or something out of the box, we'll call it, in terms of being able to sustain yourself can be critical. Absolutely critical for your survival. And that program into the health service and the working with the Libyan war wounded and producing content for them is a prime example of it. And would this have been what would have opened up as well, maybe, or just expanded on your offering in the health services area, in that sector specifically, Conor?
No, it actually followed from it. And it is a thing we say about being entrepreneurial, is sort of always looking for the opportunities to do something. We have been working with the Health Management Institute in a joint venture or strategic partnership, whatever you might call it, for 20 years. And again, long-term relationship, we have an agreement with them. It's renewed every 3 years, and it has been recently renewed. And it's that sort of long-term partnership with it. And as we were talking to them, we heard about this group of people that needed support for a period of time. And we said, we'll have a bit of that. And it was great. So the relationship with the health service to a stage where we would trust it. We then got trusted. When you trust it in one thing, you might be trusted in another. And that's how that worked.
Fantastic. So you've diversified, you continue to diversify because, you know, you have this particular area of expertise in that health side because of your experience working with the Health Management Institute, but also then your own background was very much in the HR side, and that has been helpful to you within the learning rooms.
Yes, it has. And as I said, I trained as a lawyer, and I still operate as an employment lawyer. You're going to say a little bit of ADHD at it because I just seem to do different things. But I had the HR consultancy. Now, the HR consultancy has effectively come to an end. I still work with a number of clients, but the whole preoccupation is with the development of the learning rooms and the programs both here and internationally. But where the HR consultancy helped is that it kept what we were doing in training and development very real. We could understand the challenges that people were facing. So if we were doing something like a training program on resilience, it wasn't an academic exercise. It was because we know of the challenges that people face in the workplace for which the need to develop resilience. We know about performance management, about discipline, about the need for planning, the need for good quality leadership. And it's so the experience in the consulting enriches the programs which we develop. And we have some great ideas for the future. It's terribly exciting.
I'm looking forward to hearing about those. But first, Conor, I'm guessing there's some people listening into our podcast here today and they're thinking, oh my God, I've got all this expertise myself. I'm only one of myself. I'd love to spread the word and get the message out there more and share my expertise and my knowledge. And you could possibly have that solution for them. I'd love for you maybe just to give us an example of, you know, of a possible scenario where you've brought content on live, you know, to the digital world and allowed for that.
Okay, well, look, I'll try and try and respond to that. But here's if we were to say that our work with the Health Management Institute has given us a lot of experience within the health service, and operating in the health service is really one of the most challenging parts of any industry sector that is around. So we learn about those challenges. We in fact first came across the notion of helping people to develop resilience by talking to managers in the health service. We then developed face-to-face training programs and finally converted those training programs into one of our most successful digital programs, which is in the area of resilience. And that in turn has then brought us into developing a program with St. George's Hospital in London and a number of other partners in the area of resilience that will be an important CPD program for professionals in the UK and internationally. And we have that on a joint venture. So you can see where you can identify a small opportunity and by spending time on it, it can grow. And that it has the potential to be if not a game changer for us, is to certainly contribute significantly to future revenues over a number of years.
You mentioned there earlier, Conor, that there's exciting things in the pipeline for the future. And I've no doubt, given your success and your resilience very much so, and how you've survived over the last, you know, couple of decades, as to the future being very bright for you. But with that comes the requirement to continuously innovate and be creative. Anything exciting in particular that you'd like to share with us, Conor?
Oh, it's all top secret.
A source of inspiration.
I'll tell you what we do within the organization. So we have 18 staff in the organization, and one of the things that the majority of them are either on hybrid working or working at home, and there is a challenge about making that work. But one of the things that we have done is that we have set up 4 groups of staff, because we recognize these are clever people, a lot cleverer than the management of the organization in many respects. Not as old, but certainly as smart. And we have in 4 insight groups developing ideas the whole time. So one of the insight groups is to say, how can we make hybrid working work better? How can we make working from home work better, both for the individual and for the business? We have another group about marketing, and I think it is the truth of almost every organization that you develop because you're good in some area. Very often for entrepreneurial organizations is you have expertise in some subject matter. But we recognize that we have to improve and increase our capability in marketing, both in Ireland and internationally. So we have another group looking at that. We've another group looking at how do we develop client relationships, and in particular, where we're doing bespoke work, how do we manage that relationship? How do we manage the difficult occurrences that happen in a relationship? And finally, we have another group looking at emerging technologies. And we had feedback from those 4 groups, because we took them in for a staff day or a company day last week. And it was mind-blowing, the amount of ideas and suggestions that those groups came up with. And the emerging technology ones are telling us how we can use those technologies, particularly the AI-driven technologies, to develop the business in the future. And that's, so we're quite fired up here about all of that.
Isn't that brilliant? And I think the learning for me from that case was that you were very prescriptive. You broke people down and you gave them, I suppose, you know, some guidance as to what you wanted to think about, but then give them the freedom to be creative and to brainstorm, and everything is on the table. But for the last piece was especially essential, was that you brought everybody in together for a team and a staff day to share those learnings and those ideas. And I think for anyone listening in here today that has got, you know, a hybrid work policy or working remotely, a big challenge is how can you really make that work, as you mentioned, Conor. And I think dividing into task forces and groups like this, you know, and giving people their voice and their say really helps to foster a sense of continuous collaboration and innovation, which can arguably sometimes be lost or maybe a little less when you have got that hybrid and that remote working. So it's brilliant to see how there's a solution for everything. Conor, it's, you know, listening to you here, I could talk to you forever and a day. And I think that your own experience and decades long of experience, you know, within the learning sector is phenomenal. If you were to impart maybe 3 tips or 3 learnings that you had along the way that you only maybe wish that you'd known before you started out or on your journey, I'd love to hear them from you, as would our listeners, I'm sure.
I think they are universal truths. If you want a business, you've got to look after your customers. And I think that notion of developing long routes, every time you deal with a customer, but dealt with in exactly the same way. And the second has to do for small businesses is finances, and cash flow is king. And so we spoke about loads of lovely things, but ultimately it is a business and your responsibility is to manage your cash. And the third thing, certainly for an organization such as mine, you want to create the best possible environment for people to work in and where they can be of their best, and then you get the best of the people who work for you.
They're like three commandments, Connor, and they resonate so much with you. Number one, look after your customers. Number two, understand your finances and your cash flow, because cash flow is king. And thirdly, create the best possible environment to foster collaboration, creativity, and all of that for your team and your workforce. And the business will look after itself if you've got those three principles right. Connor Hannaway, it's been absolutely fantastic chatting with you today. I'm sure there's many of our listeners will be here, will be mad to learn more about how potentially the learning rooms can help their business. I'd suggest hop over to the website of the Learning Rooms and you'll see a lot of their case studies and potentially get some eye openers as to how they can help you in your journey and maybe to streamline some of your learning experience as well. Thank you so much, Connor.
Okay, thanks very much. Thanks for having me today.
Thank you for listening to AIBF Business Talk today. I really do hope you enjoyed listening in. To find out more about the All-Ireland Business Foundation and the work that we do, especially the Business All-Stars programme, just go to www.aibf.ie. Remember, never put off until tomorrow what you can do today. Until next time, from your host, Elaine Carroll. Goodbye.